there are four Vaishnav sampradayas: Brahma, Rudra, Shri and Kumar. One sampradaya is coming from Lord Brahma, another one is coming from Lord Shiva, one is coming from Lakshmi Devi, and another one is coming from the four Kumaras. Lord Brahma Sampradaya is known as Brahma Sampradaya. The one that is coming from Lord Shiva is called Rudra Sampradaya. One that is coming from Lakshmi Devi is Shri Sampradaya. And one coming from the four Kumaras is Kumar Sampradaya. So these are the four Vaishnav Sampradaya. শব্দকে করছি কথা বলছি সো দিস ফোর সম্প্রদায় ওয়ার এস্টাবলিশড ইন অর্ডার টু ডেলিভার দিস মেটেরিয়াল নেচার. These four sampradayas are known as Kshitipavan, the deliverer of this earth planet. Kshiti is the name of the earth planet, one of the names of the earth planet. And Pavana is delivered by these four Vaishnav sampradayas. With the advent of the age of Kali, there was Dharmasya Glani. The religious principles became affected, and in the name of the Vedas, all kinds of undesirable activities were going on. Especially in the name of the Vedas, animal sacrifice became rampant. The performance animal sacrifice used to be a part of the performance of yajna for the pleasure of the Lord. But in the age of Kali, in order to eat the meat of the animals, they started to slaughter animals in the name of sacrifice. Therefore, in order to stop the animal sacrifice, the Lord appeared as Buddha. Nindasi yagya videraha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashupatam Keshavadhrita Buddha Sharira. Keshav, Krishna, appeared as Lord Buddha to stop the animal sacrifice. But in order to do that, he had to stop, or he had to reject the Vedas. Ved na maniya buddho hoilo nastik. The followers of Buddha, because they did not accept the Vedas, therefore they became nastik, atheists. Then Lord Shiva was instructed by Krishna to re-establish the Vedas. And as a result of that, Lord Shiva appeared as Shankaracharya. And in order to establish the Vedas, Shankaracharya created one doctrine which is known as Vivartavad or Kevaladvaitavad. So Kevaladvaitavad in short can be known as Mayavad. So this Mayavad is also another form of atheism. Ved na maniya bodho hoilo nasti. Because the Buddhists did not accept the Vedas, they became atheists. They are actually indirectly they are the atheists. But Shankaracharya, he created a doctrine which was similar to the doctrine of the Buddhists. That is, Buddhists are, their doctrine is known as Shunyavada or voidism. But Shankaracharya established a Siddhanta or Matavad that was known as Nirvishesha. That was known as Nirvisheshvad. So Shunyavad and Nirvisheshvad, like Shunyavad is indirect or covered atheism, and Nirvisheshvad is covered Shunyavad, voidism. But Shankaracharya had to do that in order to re-establish the Vedas, which was rejected by Lord Buddha in order to stop the animal sacrifice. So then, in order to give the actual essence of the Vedas over this Nirvisheshvad or impersonalism, Ramanujacharya came. Ramanujacharya is also an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Ramanujacharya was born in South India, near Madras, near Chennai, today's Chennai. His father's name was Keshavacharya and his mother's name was Kantimati. Keshavacharya was a very, very exalted Brahmana who was very expert in performing sacrifices. So Keshavacharya, in order to beget a child, performed a great sacrifice in a place called Vrindaranya on the bank of the ocean, on the bank of a lake called Lily Lake. And this sacrifice was performed in front of Lord Parthasarathi. Parthasarathi is another name of Krishna. Parthasarathi. During the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna became the charioteer of Arjun or Partha. Therefore, he was celebrated as Parthasarathi. So, and as a result of that sacrifice to Parthasarathi, at the end of the sacrifice, Parthasarathi appeared to Keshavacharya and told him that he would appear as his son. and as a result of that, in course of time, Kantimati gave birth to an exalted, very exalted child, and that child was Ramanuja. At around the same time, Kantimati's sister, Mahadevi, also gave birth to a boy, and his name became Govinda. From their childhood, both these boys became very intimate friends. So, Ramanuja, Ram, from the name itself we can see, he is Ram's Anuja. That means he is the incarnation of Lakshmi. He was an extremely brilliant boy. Naturally, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Extremely intelligent, very beautiful, and endowed with all divine qualities. So in this way the Lord appears, takes birth as a human being, apparently as a human being, to perform his pastimes on this planet. So Ramanujacharya, when he was 16 years old, he was he went to study as a student of a very renowned scholar of that time, whose name was Yadav Prakash. So Yadav Prakash was very renowned scholar of that time, but unfortunately he was an impersonal, he was a Mayavadi. At that time India was in the grip of the Mayavad doctrine. As a matter of fact, still today India is in the grip of Mayavad doctrine. People became so much influenced by Mayavad that they do not have any understanding, or they do not want to accept the personal feature of the Lord. So this Yadav Prakash was a very brilliant scholar, and he was a big proponent of Shankaracharya's Kevalamrita or Mayavad. So one day when Ramanujacharya was massaging his guru Yadav Prakash, Yadav Prakash was, some students were sitting in front of him, and Yadav Prakash, and the student asked, and Yadav Prakash was explaining one description of the law which says that yasya tasya yatha kapyasam pundarikam eva akshine. Akshine, the two eyes of Pundarikam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is like, the Sanskrit expression has been given as kapyasam. Kapyasam is the description of the eyes of the Supreme Personality of God. So Yadav Prakash, he described this, he analyzed this expression kapyasam is as Kopi or Sham. Kopi means monkey. Kopi means monkey, and Asyam is the behind. So he described that the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is red as the hindsight of the monkey. So Ramanacharya was massaging him. So Yadav Prakash felt that some water, hot water, fell on his body. So he looked up and he saw that hot tears actually fell from Ramanuja's eyes. So he asked, what happened? And Ramanuja said that. To describe the all attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead's eyes in that way was not appropriate. And he was so hurt, he was so afflicted that tears came from his eyes. So Yadav Prakash asked, then he was very angry. He said, you know better than me, you are my disciple, and you don't accept my description. Anyway, what do you think is the meaning of this word then? Kapayashana. So Ramanacharya explained that kam or jalam, water, pivati, iti kapayashana. Drinks water, that's why it is kapyasana. Now who drinks water? Lotus drinks water. Therefore another name of lotus is kapyasana, has been described as kapyasana. So the Lord's eyes are have been described here as red as the fully bloomed lotus that drinks water. Therefore, copies. So Yadav Prakash was already noticing that this boy is a devotee of the Lord, great devotee of the Lord. So he became afraid that probably this boy is going to become a big opponent to the Kevala Daitavad and Mahabharata. Therefore, he decided to get rid of this boy, kill him. Because otherwise, in future, he may become a great threat to the doctrines of Shankaracharya. So he made a plot. He told some of his disciples that what a big threat he is to the Sampradaya. Therefore, he should be get rid of. And so then he made a plan that he would go to Ganga to become free from all this sinful reaction. And so they traveled, they decided to go from South India to North India, and some students also joined, and Ramanacharya also joined, and Govinda also joined. Ramanacharya and Govinda didn't have any idea what was the purpose of this so-called pilgrimage. Therefore, so innocently they joined the team. They took leave from their mothers and they started to travel with the group. Then one day, one night, Govinda overheard this conspiracy that they were planning, that this is the place where we would kill Ramanacharya. And then after killing, we will look for him, and then when you could find him, we will say that maybe some wild animal has eaten him. And then we will go to Ganga and get rid of our sin, taking bath there. So then one day Govinda got some opportunity to speak to Ramanujan in a solitary place, and he told him about the whole conspiracy. So, and he said that you just run away from him. So hearing that, Ramanujan left and on his own started to travel south from there. And in the middle of the forest, there was no road, there was no way to find out which direction to go. And so in the middle of the forest, he came across one hunter and his wife. The sight of that hunter was very fierce. He had a big body, dark complexion, almost, it was so dark that it looked almost blue. And he was with his wife. And so they also were surprised to see this young, handsome boy in the middle of the forest. So he told him that he was traveling south towards Kanchipuram, where he actually belonged to. So those travelers, the hunters, said, okay, we know the forest path, so you come with us, you can travel some distance with me. And he became very thirsty. He said, come, we know some place, there is a well, and in that well you can drink your water. So then he traveled with them. Eventually, in the morning, they pointed out that, so here is the well, you can go and drink the water. And then when he looked back, he found that they were not there. They just disappeared. So, and he found a deep well, and the stairs were leading down. And he drank water. And then he was sitting there, and some people came. And he asked, which is the place? Which is this place? And they said, oh, what kind of a person you are? You don't know this well, this very famous well, which is the landmark of Kanchipuram. So in this way, by the mercy of this hunter and his wife, Ramanacharya came back to Kanchipuram. And then he realized who was this hunter. He realized that this hunter and his wife was none other than Lakshmana. And he started to lament, the Lord so mercifully came to me and I couldn't recognize him, I couldn't take advantage of him. Instead of serving him, I took his service. He came so close to me and I got such an opportunity to render some devotional service. But instead of rendering devotional service to him, I took service from him. And he showed me the way to how to come to Kanchipuram. And in the meantime, Yadav Prakash, he started to look for Ramanuja and couldn't find him. And Yadaprakash and his disciples felt that maybe Ramanuja has been really eaten up by some wild animal. He said, it's good that we did not have to commit the heinous crime of killing him. He has been taken care of already. And after the pilgrimage, when they came back and they presented the sad story to the villagers, that how in the course of their pilgrimage, Ramanuja was eaten up by some wild animal in the forest. But all the villagers told him, what? Ramanuja is here. Then Jadaprakash, then he came to Ramanuja and begged forgiveness from him. And Ramanuja instructed him to become a devotee of the Lord, accept Krishna consciousness. So in this way, Ramanujacharya converted a great Mayavadi proponent just as a young boy. There are many wonderful incidences with Ramanujacharya's life. One incident was that the princess of Kanchipuram became haunted by a ghost, and not an ordinary ghost, it was a Brahma Rakshasa. And this Brahma Rakshasa, the princess became haunted, and she was behaving in a strange way. And many ghostbusters, sorcerers, came to get rid of the ghost, but no one succeeded. Then it was declared, someone declared that if Ramanujacharya comes and places his feet on the head of the princess, then the Brahma Rakshasa. Actually, the Brahma Rakshasa himself declared that if Ramanuja comes and places his feet, then he said that none of you will succeed, none of you will be able to do anything. It is only when Ramanuja comes and places his feet on my head will I leave. And so the king sent for Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya was very reluctant. He said, how can I put my feet on the head of the princess? The king pleaded, please, because that is the only way that my daughter, the princess, can be relieved of this ghost, Brahma Rakshasa. When a Brahmana becomes a ghost, it becomes a terrible ghost. They become Brahma Rakshasa. So then Ramanujacharya was taken to the palace, and hesitatingly Ramanujacharya placed his feet on the head of the princess, and immediately the Brahma Rakshasa started to speak. Yes, now I leave. As an indication of my leaving, I will break the top branch of the banyan tree, upper branch of the banyan tree. And then immediately everyone could hear the sound of the huge tree, the top part of the huge banyan tree is big, breaking. So this is how the Prince Ramanujacharya delivered the Brahma Rakshasa, which was haunting the princess. Ramanujacharya was extremely brilliant personality, and his fame spread to different places. And at that time, there was Jamunacharya, another great leader of the Sri Sampradaya, who was actually a king, but he became, he renounced his kingdom and became a menial servant of the Lord in Sri Lanka. And he was a great Acharya. So Jamunacharya one day came to Kanchipuram and he saw Ramanujacharya. And just by seeing him, he could recognize that he is a great devotee of the Lord. But he saw Ramanujacharya in the association of Yadav Prakash, who although was a great scholar, but he was an impersonalist. So Jamunacharya became very concerned and he told his disciple Kanchipurna to somehow rescue Jamunacharya, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhumas Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Gauranitani. So he mentioned that they should try to get Jamunacharya, Ramanujacharya away from this Jagat Prakash, because the Jagat Prakash influence is going to be very detrimental. So, but Ramanujacharya also, he also heard about Jamunacharya and he always wanted to meet Jamunacharya. But it didn't happen. Then one day, he was, somebody came and said that the Jamunacharya was in his deathbed. Jamunacharya is about to leave his body and he wanted to see him. So Ramanacharya immediately left with that man. But when he came to Jamunacharya's place, he found out that Jamunacharya had left his body. So Ramanacharya became very repentant. He started to cry. This great Vaishnavacharya whom I wanted to meet, I could not get him darshan. And when he came to see, he saw Jamunacharya's body was lying on the bed. And he noticed that three of his fingers were clenched in his hands. Three fingers were clenched, were bent. So he asked, was it always like that? Was his fingers like that always? And others said, no, his fingers were normal. So then Ramanujacharya took three bows there, one after another. The first one, he took a resolution. He resolved that he would give, he would purify the conditioned soul submerged in ocean of ignorance by the process of Pancharatrika, Vidhi, and bring them to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when he took that vow, one finger opened up. Then he resolved that he would write the Sri Bhashya, the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, in the line of Sri Sampradaya. The second finger opened up. And then he resolved that in order to repay his debt to Parashar Muni, he would name one of his disciples as Parashar. And the third finger opened up. So in this way, it was proved that Jamunacharya was waiting for Ramanujacharya to come back, and he wanted him to accomplish a great mission of establishing supremacy of the Sri Sampradaya and become an Acharya of the Sampradaya in this way. And by taking these three vows, Ramanujacharya relieved Jamunacharya from this anxiety, and then Ramanujacharya started to propagate Krishna consciousness in the line of Sri Sampradaya. Soon after that, Ramanujacharya took initiation from the Kanchipurna in that line. And it's also very interesting to note that Ramanujacharya was a very exalted Brahmana, but Kanchipurna actually came from a Sudra family. So this way, he actually, by taking initiation from Kanchipurna, Ramanujacharya proved that a Vaishnava does not have any consideration. For a Vaishnava, there is no consideration of caste and creed. A Vaishnava, in whichever family he is born, when one becomes a Vaishnava, he transcends the material platform and becomes situated on the transcendental platform. So, in this way, Ramanujacharya, during his time, established a very wonderful principle of Vaishnava platform. Vaishnaveda nahi jati kuladi vichara. For a Vaishnava, there is no consideration of jati and kula. Ramanujacharya came to re-establish the principles of personalism, and he established the principle of Vishishtadvaitavad. Over Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad, Ramanujacharya established the Vishishtadvaitavad. And in this way, he established the supreme consideration of the Vedanta philosophy in the form of personalism over impersonalism. Shankaracharya came and established impersonalism, Nirvisheshvad or Vivartavad. This Vivartavad is a new doctrine established by Shankaracharya over the actual Vedic conclusion of Parinambad. Parinambad is the theory or the doctrine of transformation. Doctrine of transformation. Brahma Parinambad. Brahma is transformed into Jagat. Brahma is transformed into Jagat. But on that, rejecting that Parinambad, Shankaracharya established a theory which is called Vivartavad, or theory of illusion, with the doctrine that Brahma Satya Jagannit. Brahma is real, but this material nature is false. So, Parinambad, Brahma Parinambad is transformation theory, the theory or doctrine of transformation. Brahman is transformed into Jagat. This material nature is a transformation of Brahman. But Shankaracharya came with a doctrine called Vivartavad, which is theory of illusion. Brahma Sattva Jagat Mitha. Mitha, false. And he took a few concepts from the Veda, Upanishad, and established his doctrine. One of the few considerations he gave was that it is just as a mirage is unreal, this material nature is unreal, mitha or unreal. Like there is mirage is illusion. So therefore this Jagat is an illusion. Just as a mirage is an illusion, it appears that there is water in the mirage, but there is no water. Similarly, the variegatedness of the material nature is unreal. He gave another example of the rope and a snake. Just as a rope is mistaken to be a snake, it's actually rope, it's not snake, but it appears to be a rope. Or a mother of pearl is mistaken or appears to be like silver. So these are all bhram or illusion. It's not there, but it appears to be like that. So this is the difference between Parinambad, which is an actual Vedic concept. But Shankaracharya, instead of that Parinambad, he established the Vivartavad, a theory of illusion or Mayavad. So Ramanujacharya came and defeated that Mayavad of Shankaracharya with the argument. He gave 21 reasons, and out of these, some are these, which completely devastated Shankaracharya's Mayavad philosophy. And so he made a point that fine, there is no water in the mirage, but somewhere the water must be existing. Therefore the mirage appears to be water. Fine, there is no snake in the rope, but somewhere the snake must be existing. Therefore the rope appears to be like a snake. So material variegatedness may be illusory, but somewhere that variety is there, that's why it appears to be that illusory concept in the material nature. So where is that variegatedness? Variegatedness is in the spiritual reality. And in this way, he established his Vishishta Daitavad over Kevala Daitavad. The Kevala Daitavad doctrine is that this variegatedness in the material nature is Maya. But Brahma is without variegatedness, nirvishesh. There is no variety, it is just Brahma. That is Brahma Satya Jagannit. But what Ramanujacharya established, that the variegatedness that we are experiencing in the material nature is existing in the spiritual nature. That's why this variegatedness is experienced here. Just like if something is seen in a reflection, we have to understand that it is also there in the reality. If the real thing is not existing, then how can we see it in the reflection? We are seeing the reflection of a tree. Can that reflection exist without the tree? No. Similarly, the variety of this material nature that we are experiencing in the material nature is unreal as a reflection, not as illusion. And the real substance is there in the spiritual nature. So in this way, Ramanujacharya established the variegatedness or the variety of the spiritual reality. So he is undoubtedly one of the greatest acharyas of all time. He is considered to be the Sampradaya Acharya or Sri Sampradaya. And according to Ramanujacharya, Sri Sampradaya is today known as Ramanuja Sampradaya. And today is Sri Ramanujacharya's disappearance day. And we beg for his causeless mercy upon us on this day, that he showers his causeless mercy upon us and we can continue to make advancement in spirituality. Srila Ramanujacharya ki. Srila Ramanujacharya's disappearance day celebration ki. Gaur Premanande. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namaste. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Shunyavadi.